In a series of large black and white drawings, Australian artist Keith Jewell illustrates early colonial Sydney in a very unusual way. He's sketched the contorted, muscular figures of Aboriginal and convict men during Governor Lachlan Macquarie's term in office. The figures are drawn in boxes and they're sort of pushing at the outside edges. Well, Ros Bluett was intrigued with what's going on there, and Keith Jewell was only too happy to explain.
I start with the design element. What shape do I want within that box? And then I want to make the figure look authentic. So I work out what the skeleton looks like. Is the skeleton sensibly connected? And then I add the muscles to it, so that I make sure that they've got the right shapes and that they have the right tension for that particular action. And then, so with the skeleton and then the muscles, then I'll overlay it with the form, so what muscles show, what parts of the rib cage and pelvis show. And then I'll think about how I'm going to light it, because there are actually several viewpoints in here. You know, in Macquarie's time, I mean, people were being taken away from their family and friends and their society, everything they've known, and put in the other part of the world. Every way they turned, there was limits. They were stuck.
Historian Grace Karskens agrees that fortitude and an inner strength would have characterised the convicts sent to Australia.
Ordinary people in England and Ireland thought of emigration as a death, a kind of death, because you'd never come back. You're going into another life. It's not like now where we can just pop back and forth across the world. It's quite different. And that's why they would polish off the tops of pennies and turn them into love tokens and say, when you see this, think of me. Very poignant artefacts of emotions.
These drawings show something of the tension of what they had to go through with being separated from family and friends so far away, and then the harsh treatment, and then but the strength of character that comes out that wouldn't have come out any other way. I'm sure if we could have photographed the workers and what they had to undergo, we would have seen some horrific things. Straining against with picks and rocks and heavy timbers and things like that. So the effort that's put into pushing up against things is what I've tried to convey in these drawings, these figure drawings. So it's not all about an oppressive view of the human figure, but it's within that confinement that can bring out the strength.
Imagine coming to this new place. You have to start from scratch. You don't know the timbers. The timbers are confusing, but I tell you what, they learn pretty quickly about how to build and how to use the stone and how to work the timber and where to find the clay and all those things. So, yeah, it's a really immense pioneering story. And there were setbacks, of course there were, and a huge learning curve. But really, many of their letters home just show wonder. They're just in awe of the place and of the opportunities.
And those convicts who didn't misbehave or who had brought skills with them were able to prosper. During Macquarie's tenure, it became easier for convicts to earn their tickets of leave and be accepted as free citizens of Sydney, much to the annoyance of the free settlers. But with the Aboriginal inhabitants, it was a very different story.
This is drawing number 5, which was the first Aboriginal figure that I did. So it required slightly different technique. The white figures are white skin people against black charcoal backgrounds, whereas the Aboriginals, I decided to have a white background. Here the fellow's got his arms outstretched. He's got a hand in each corner, and it's a three-quarter front view, and he's sort of been lying on the ground, and he's got up and he's throwing his arms out as much to say, why? It says, you know, what business have you here? You invade our land. You chase us from our haunts and you deprive us of our food sources. You abuse us and kill us. Why are you treating us this way? And the lack of understanding of the whites with the Aboriginals, and the unreasonable treatment is just mind-boggling.
I think Macquarie arrived with, as a lot of governors did, with a lack of corporate memory about what had happened in the colony. He arrived and there had been a terrible war already on the Cumberland Plain. Many people, white and black, had died in horrible circumstances, but Macquarie didn't know that. And so he just assumed that it had always been peaceful, that there'd never been a war of resistance. And therefore he said, oh, you know, these poor, helpless people, black people, we have to look after them and be kind to them, which is rather patronising when you think about what a tough culture the Aboriginal people had and what an old and ancient and solid culture they had. He was greatly shocked when the frontier expanded southwards around Campbelltown and Appin, where terrible violence again broke out. That happens every time the frontier expands, right over the 19th and 20th centuries. Macquarie goes into shock at that time.
And Keith Jewell has attempted to capture the Aboriginal indignation and incomprehension through their body language and physiognomy.
This one, the figure is leaning up against the right-hand border. He's got his head pressed up against the top right-hand corner of the picture. His left arm, his left hand is in the top left-hand corner of the picture, and his foot is down in the bottom left-hand corner of the picture, and he's pressing hard up against the right-hand edge, and he's got his head on the top edge and his pelvis on the bottom edge, the knee and the foot on the left-hand edge and the hand, and so there's a lot of tension with the way the shape is arranged. Macquarie himself wrote, he said, "I need not, I hope, express my wish that the natives of this country may always be treated with kindness and attention so as to conciliate them as much as possible to our government and manners."
And that is when he tries to instigate a couple of new measures to try and help Aboriginal people. From today's perspective, they don't look all that helpful. One was to take Aboriginal children away from their parents and put them in a school where they could never get them back, and train them up in Christianity and to become servants to white people, and then indeed to marry them off to one another. So it's actually about non-acceptance, but also wanting Aboriginal people to fit in with white society. So the school wasn't a very big success. Understandably, Aboriginal people didn't want to give up their children. Then the other thing that he did was to take them out of the town and give them some land back on George's Head and also later at Elizabeth Bay. Now, this is the first, apart from King giving one farm back to one Aboriginal man, this is the first handback of land to Aboriginal people. Of course, it doesn't work the way he plans. They don't stay away from Sydney. They don't start farming because they're fisher people and they really love the boat that he gives them, and they, you know, row back and forth between George's Head and Sydney, and they stay urban Aboriginal people, as they have done ever since.
And Keith illustrates this mental and spiritual strength through the man's muscles and anatomy.
The outside border is pushing in on the figure, and yet I'm playing with the strength of the figure pushing back out against it, so there's a kind of a dialogue really happening, and it's great fun. And you've got to be able to know your anatomy and pay attention to and observe accurately what happens to the muscles and the flesh at those points that creates that little extra bit of tension.
Yeah, I think it's a really interesting angle, because what struck me was the physicality, and that is actually shared between Aboriginal people and, you know, the convicts, more than between Aboriginal people and the higher-ups.
The bones are working and the muscles are really working there to keep the outside pressures at bay. This work is really homing in on what it was like personally for individuals. Even though the drawings are allegorical, it really homes in on a particular aspect of the life in Macquarie's time.
Can you imagine what it would have been like to be on a hulk for 4 years, starved, diseased, just wretched, and then coming to this place, this beautiful place, which they wrote about, and being fed properly once a week, not the kind of food we'd like, but a lot more than they were used to. You could actually collect oysters for free off the foreshores. You could go out in a boat and catch fish. I'm romanticising a little bit to try and counter the gulag idea. It's still hard. It's a pioneering colony. It's muddy. The women can't get tea and they moan about it incredibly. So Macquarie is really the last governor for whom this is true. Macquarie is the last one to oversee this as a convict's place. And he's also very enlightened, and this gets back to the body, in the fact that he reduces the number of lashes, or nominally reduces the number of lashes that can be inflicted on the body of the convict for, you know, misdemeanours. And he also instigated gang work around the town instead of floggings.
In fact, word got back to England that life in Australia wasn't all that bad compared to what they had to endure in England. At least they could grow out here. There was the sunshine and warmth and the space, and they could grow food. So they could act socially responsibly. You know, they could actually make a new beginning and use their freedom.
Lachlan Macquarie's influence on both Aboriginal and convict lives was profound, as he sought to shape the new settlement into a thriving cultural town.
We must get the story right, and all sides of the story. I have no idea why a filmmaker hasn't made a story about the Macquaries. System Road's got everything, for one thing. But it's a good time to reflect on what they were doing and the real underpinnings of their attitudes. And they were really interested in the place. And they did have a sense of the common good. And the record of building that they achieved here, orphanages and storehouses and all kinds of buildings that looked after the community, just stand testament to what they did. And I think that's what we should remember.
Historian Grace Cuskins, ending that foray into the evocative drawings of artist Keith Dewell. And if you'd like to check out some of Keith's drawings, they're on the website, along with a lot of the other artworks discussed in today's program.